I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
And it's time for Touche here on 720 WGN. And tonight we've got somebody in for Chris Roebling, who's out. And that's Charles Lipson, the professor of international politics at the University of Chicago, columnist at Real Clear Politics, and the author of the blog ZipDialogue.com, a frequent guest here on The Download and WGN. Good to see you, Professor Lipson. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Well, last time I saw you, you look like Abraham Lincoln,
today,
the president. Now you look like Abraham Lincoln,
the lawyer.
The lawyer.
Yeah. I
know. No beard. No beard.
Beard. But it'll be back.
Yeah, all the folks in Radioland, check out Justin's face. He's got no beard. It's weird.
Really?
Jump to the webcam. Right. Good to see you, Dave Lundy, Charles Lipson. All right, let's get to it today. Of course, the big news surrounding the court appearance of Michael Cohen. A judge forces him to reveal who his third client is. It turns out to be Fox News host Sean Hannity. In a bizarre, bizarro world that we live in, this is happening. What's your guys' take on this? What does any of this stuff mean?
You know, here's the thing. I'm guessing, now I don't watch Fox News, I freely admit this, but I'm guessing that sometime over the last few weeks or months, Sean Hannity's gone on the air and talked about Michael Cohen, and he's talked about how this is a witch hunt, and he's talked about how awful it was, how the Gestapo was breaking down Michael Cohen's doors. I'm trying to remember if I ever heard that he actually identified the fact he was a client. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. He didn't do that because Sean Hannity has no ethics.
Well, he also didn't say he was a client of the Hair Club for Men. the fact is, I actually think Davis put his finger on something real important that is missing on virtually all news shows, which is that if you go on a financial TV station, CNBC or Fox Business, they'll always ask, or the radio show, do you have a position in GE stock if you've been talking it up or down? When they talk to Henry Kissinger and he's talking about China, nobody ever says, well, Henry, aren't you getting all your consulting fees from China? Nobody ever does it.
Right.
And I think it's a real problem here. I think what happened is just a guess. So it's Wild Blue, the same way that James Comey throws out things as the director of the FBI. It's that Cohen wanted to claim that everything that was seized in the raid related to lawyer-client privileges. Then the judge says, okay, name some clients. And he tried to think of somebody other than the president and one fundraiser, and he threw out a number. And then she called him on it. That would be my guess.
Well,
because Hannity says, I wasn't a client. He talked to him in the same way that I might talk to you, Dave. You're a PR consultant, and I might say, hey, how do I get some good publicity for my book?
So Hannity said this afternoon that he never represented him, that he never retained him in the traditional sense as a lawyer. And this is my favorite part. I never received an invoice from Michael. Oh, I get it. So you just got free legal advice. Well, that makes it all okay.
No. It's that those things are important because in many states, if nothing is ever reduced to writing, then you haven't gotten legal advice. I mean, we've all talked to a doctor or a lawyer and gotten a little advice, and it doesn't count as privileged information.
Let me ask you both this. Is this the investigation of our lifetime in the sense that what we're seeing here with Michael Cohen and now Fox News and of course, the continuing special prosecutor's case against the Trump campaign with collusion with Russian. Is this the investigation of our lifetime, or is this, as the president says, a huge witch hunt?
You know, it depends exactly what they find. Watergate wasn't the investigation of our lifetime until they busted him dead to rights on tape. So
on what?
Richard Nixon?
No, but all, about what?
Yeah, well, in this case, right. So the big news that came out from my perspective, also on Friday, was shortly before the raids, was McClatchy News Service reported that that contrary to Michael Cohen's claims, that in fact he was in Prague.
Huge,
because what it does, if it's true. And I say if it's true because it hasn't been confirmed by other news organizations.
And he continues to deny it.
And he continues to deny it. But if it is true that they have him in Prague, you're one step closer to proving actual collusion. I don't know whether it exists or not, but the Steele dossier was crystal clear with very specific details. It's been proven right in a lot of cases. If they got him on this, then it's a whole new ballgame.
It seems you've asked a really good question.
He does that.
The worst investigation of our lifetime was the investigation into Hillary Clinton. And it was the worst because all of her key aides were given not only immunity, but all their evidence was destroyed. The whole investigation appears to be botched. Now, it may be that she didn't commit any crimes, but there was absolutely no confidence that anybody would have that this was a disinterested investigation that was settled by disinterested professionals, either at the top levels of the FBI or the DOJ. Now, in the Trump investigation...
By the way, I wouldn't go there, but I'm letting Charles go because he's a guest.
Well, thank you, Dave. The Trump investigation, from what we know, has failed to uncover the principal thing for which a special prosecutor was called there. But, and the reason I mentioned the thing about Nixon, was that Nixon wasn't accused of the break-in at the Democratic office. He was accused, ultimately, of trying to cover up his role in that investigation. And if it turns out that these investigations go on and there is a real role that Trump played, it's a big deal. If there is not, take my word, there are going to be plenty of people who think this was the deep state going after the president, trying to undermine his administration in a way that does not comport with democratic, fair legal processes.
Charles Lipson, of course, a professor of politics at the University of Chicago, columnist at Real Clear Politics as well. Dave Lundy, a regular here on Touche. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk Comey, and we'll continue. Let's talk Syria as well. That happened?
Yeah, Syria happened.
720 WGN. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
Charles Lipson, Dave Lundy in studio tonight as we're doing Touche. Do you guys watch James Comey with George Stephanopoulos?
Yes, sir.
So why don't we start there? Because there was a little bit, and it was referenced on Friday night and through the weekend, the wag the dog scenario, a little bit of a conspiracy theory that the president wanted to take the nation's focus off of James Comey's press blitz, which started on Sunday. Last night, Comey sat down with George Stephanopoulos. Did we learn anything that we didn't already know?
No. Look, I thought, frankly, that Comey came across as sincere in his beliefs, but it doesn't deal with his judgment problems. I mean, I think his reasons for why he did a number of the things he did, whether it's in the Hillary Clinton investigation or after, I have said from the get-go, before he came out on Hillary Clinton, I'm like, this man is a man of total integrity. He's going to say what he believes, and it's going to come out. No matter how it comes out for Hillary, I believe that. And when he did what he did in July, I'm like, yep, I'm sorry. I don't agree with with the press conference, but he's doing what he thinks is best. When October happened, that's another story. But now it just seems like I didn't learn anything new. I didn't think that, really, the president's dishonest and has no moral capacity to lead whatsoever, and he's morally unfit for office. Golly jeepers, I just woke up and found that out. Didn't learn
this
much.
Let me ask this, Charles. Just a question about James Comey. You know, a lot of the interviews centered around the idea that he kind of he said that Trump ran his team like a mob, like when he used to cover the mob. He asked for loyalty. Is this just an issue of a different style of management? The easy way to say that about the president and
it's
not understanding
special,
who he could say. Who
I
he could,
w- yeah, I
it's a special style. Of
I
management.
Was personally deeply disturbed by the. By the way that this man Comey stated his problems. Can't someone make this man disappear?
I think that the main problem with Comey is he comes across like a sanctimonious prig. And who's replete with bad judgment. His bad judgment is not quite an equal opportunity employer, but I did think that his justification for coming out with this thing a few days before the election was an interesting one. He just knew Hillary was going to win, and he wanted to make sure that she was not considered illegitimate. Who knows if that's the truth? But I'll tell you this. If he thinks this guy's a mob boss, if he thinks this guy's morally unfit, did he think that the day before he was fired, 2 days before he was fired, a week, a month? No. He seems to have come to this judgment after the man decided that James Comey wasn't worth having that job.
No. That's not consistent with what he's said throughout. It's not consistent with what his friend Ben Wittes has said. He said during the transition, the first meeting he had with the president where he was trying to tell him about how Russia tried to attacked our country, and all he wanted to do was spin, he started having grave doubts about the president, and he was going to quit, and then he decided, I'm better off staying here.
Gonna.
Well, look, I will attack James Comey for all kinds of reasons. But no, I think that he recognized very quickly that he was dealing with a moral reprobate.
Well, I'm not going to defend the moral character of the guy on the other side.
Good plan.
I'm simply saying that Comey looks to have been as bad an FBI chief as you could have.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it was a bad FBI chief. I just think he has bad judgment. And, okay. this issue about making a political judgment and basing your actions on a political judgment when you are not qualified to make those political judgments.
And what about giving?
That's crazy.
What about giving your documents to a friend to leak because you thought it would be better for your friend to leak them to the New York Times than for you?
Yeah, that wasn't so great.
Syria. So that happened on Friday night. The fallout, of course, Russia escalating some of the rhetoric, but just the rhetoric at this point.
That's so 96 hours ago.
I know, but quickly following up on our Friday night coverage, the only thing that's really changed from the Trump administration has been the call of mission accomplished, which seemed to strike a nerve once again with the American people, this idea that we're not sure what mission it was and what was accomplished.
I would give him an Abu failing grade. It was not a wag the dog. It was, but it was a tactical move. And I think that the point that I think everybody is missing about this is that what you really like to do is make Russia pay an Afghanistan-like price for staying in Syria. That's what really weakens and harms them. Nobody has said anything about that.
Yeah.
But they have an economy the size of Italy without the wine and all that good food. All they have is the corruption. And we're making them pay a price. They said they shot down our incoming missiles. They couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, look, I said on the show last Friday that I thought I would support the president for taking action against Syria, but that I wanted to see something that actually degraded, I keep wanting to say Saddam Hussein, sorry, Assad's military capability, and we didn't have that. What we had is another strike. This time they used double the number of missiles. They took out a little bit more of the facility, and they did very little that actually will change Assad's ability to make war on his own people.
Do you expect the Trump administration from the campaign and so forth to find a solution in Syria?
No, I don't think that there is one. I do have a question, though, for Dave, and it's not a rhetorical question or a gotcha question.
Ooh.
It looks as if President Trump is ratcheting up sanctions. He didn't do them today, it's true. He didn't follow through on what Nikki Haley said.
Yeah.
But he has ratcheted up sanctions and aggressive action against Russia in a way that his predecessor did not. Does this make you think that there's anything changing about the Russian relationship?
Well, I reject your suggestion that Barack Obama did not ratchet up sanctions against Russia. They quite clearly ratcheted up sanctions against Russia. However, to your point, clearly Trump is acquiescing to many of his advisors on the Russia issue. But I found it really striking today that after Nikki Haley had gone out and said we were about to do all these major sanctions, that suddenly Trump put the brakes on it and said, nope, not so fast.
Yeah.
So I don't trust Donald Trump in Russia. And so I believe it when I see it. And by the way, Russia was warned before the Syria strikes.
Yeah. Dave Lundy, Charles Lipson. Charles Lipson, our guest tonight, professor of international politics at the University of Chicago, columnist at Real Clear Politics, and the author of the blog ZipDialogue.com. In for Chris Roebling tonight. Charles Lipson, Dave Lundy, thanks for being here. Thanks for playing Touche.
Thanks, Justin.